Brady Twan, in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you. Good to share together and look into the Word and be challenged again. I enjoyed the Sunday school devotions, reminder of who are we worshiping, and also the Sunday school lesson. That challenge again basically carried right through. Are we worshiping ourselves in our flesh, or are we worshiping Christ? Appreciated that emphasis. I like to look at the miracle of Christmas this morning. It's Christmas service and the Sunday before Christmas, and we already heard a little bit about the story of Christmas this morning, but I'd like to look at the miracles of Christmas for a message this morning, and hopefully we can be touched by it, impacted by it, as the men were, as the people were who met Christ. What's a miracle? Miracle is simply an extremely outstanding or unusual event, a thing or an accomplishment, something that's out of the ordinary, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. Usually we consider them to be supernatural. Other times we say it's a miracle. We're not necessarily saying it's supernatural, but it's extremely unusual, and so that's what we want to look at this morning, all the different supernatural events around the birth of Christ, and of course ending with the most important one, but we'll get there a little later. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I'd like to read some verses here. The first miracle of Christmas that I want to talk about is the miracle of the promise. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and this is the story here of Gabriel coming, the angel Gabriel appearing to man. And I know there's a number of times that angels have appeared to men. It always was a special time, but this time was pretty extra special. And it certainly was a miracle. If I asked the question of who all have had an angel appear to you in person, I don't think anybody would raise their hand. We've all have heard the voice of God in one way or another. But here is this miracle. I'll read a couple of verses here. Luke 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. In other words, she was engaged to Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This was the first miracle, the miracle of the promise. A baby that was promised to a lady, a virgin, a young girl. You know, we hope for new life sometimes. We pray for it, we hope for it. But none of us, I don't believe, have ever had God come and promise to us that it would be in this way. Also like to look at the promise over in Matthew chapter 1. The angel promised to Joseph as well that this was going to happen, appeared to him in a dream. Have you ever had an angel come and talk to you in a dream? Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I think I was going to stop reading there. Well, let me just read a couple more verses. Now this was all done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Here's another promise, promise to a man of character. This man, Joseph. Joseph, who was minded to put his wife-to-be away. In other words, break up the engagement when he realized what was happening. Not realizing that it had come from God. Wasn't willing to make her a public example. But it was a promise. The question I get from this miracle, the challenge that comes to me, hasn't this been promised to us? Haven't we had this promise? This promise of Jesus? This promise of a Redeemer? This promise of a Savior? It was a miracle to Joseph and Mary that it was revealed to them through an angel. But it's also a miracle to us today that this Redeemer came for us. That he came as a baby. Verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is a miracle to us today. Has this miracle impacted us? That this man came as a baby for us, was promised to us. The second miracle that I find is over in Luke chapter 1. I think this is a miracle as well. We're going to be flipping back and forth, so you might want to put a marker in here. I also wanted to mention when we started, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. I might not be long-winded, but I almost hesitate to say that because I know when preachers say that, usually they preach longer than shorter. But it may be a little shorter this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Here's the miracle of the preparation. I'll read down to verse 56. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He has hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months. And returned to her own house. And here I see the miracle of the preparation. The birth of Christ was preceded by another unusual birth. It was the birth of John the Baptist. How many of us have had someone come before us to prepare the way for us? Because we were coming, because we had a special work. And I'm not saying there never was someone that went before someone else since then to help prepare them for our work. There's a way in which our parents have done that for us, and other people have done that for us. But there was never another child that recognized the presence of God before they were even born. And here was John the Baptist when Mary came, that he leaped in his mother's womb, and she knew that it was Mary coming and that she was the mother of this Messiah that was promised. It's a miracle. Hasn't the way been prepared for us, though? I think God has prepared the way for us, too. How do we respond? What's our response? How do we react when we think about how the way has been prepared? Jesus has been prepared for us. I thought the verse came to me, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. There's a verse that talks about how God has been preparing the way for us, for our salvation. He's not willing that any of us should perish. And so he had been planning and preparing from before the foundations of the world that this Savior would come for us. It's a miracle of Christmas, the miracle of the preparation. Turn back to Micah chapter 5 here. Here's another miracle of Christmas. And there's a whole lot of verses I could go to the Old Testament. And this was the promise that I thought about. There's a lot of other ones, indifferent of the major and minor prophets. But let's turn back to Micah. Right after the book of Jonah. Micah chapter 5. Let's read the first couple of verses. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Referring to before the world began. Therefore he will give them up until the time she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of his God, and they shall abide, and now shall be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Talking here about the coming of Christ. It's what he was talking about, and how he was going to come to the town of Bethlehem, and that there was going to be shepherds and principal men that were going to recognize him. Now turn over to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read the first couple verses here. What I'm talking about here is the miracle of fulfilled prophecy, the third miracle of Christmas. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. These verses here are simply an answer, a proof of the prophecy, an answer to the prophecy, a fulfillment. And that's a miracle. First of all, it's a miracle that prophecy could be made. How often do we hear prophecy? And how often is that prophecy fulfilled? That the Holy Spirit moves among somebody and they would say that thus and so it shall be, and it comes to pass. That's a miracle of Christmas, that a promise could be made, and it's a miracle that that promise can be fulfilled. It's an appeal to logic. It's an appeal to man's logic. That if this promise was made and this promise is fulfilled, now what are you going to do with it? It's a proof. It's a proof that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the promised one. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with this promise, this miracle? It's been proven to us that this is the anticipated one. And it put something in our lap. What are we going to do? It's another miracle of Christmas. We already read the verses on the virgin birth. But that's the fourth miracle I have written down here. The miracle of the virgin birth. The miracle that this virgin could have a child. Impossible, man says. But it's another proof of the divine presence. A proof that Jesus was the Son of God. That this was something supernatural. Later on, the Jews accused him and said, "You were born in sin." referring to the fact that they didn't believe that God was his father, and so who was? Probably another man, probably born out of fornication. Not true. Jesus was the Son of God. What they didn't realize is that they themselves were born in sin. They were born with the sin nature. We have all been born in sin, born with an evil nature. And we have a need. We need an answer to it. But here was Jesus, born of God, born without the sin nature, born perfect. How do we respond to this miracle? Doesn't that call us to a response? We need to be adopted. We need a new father. We need a father that can help us, because our earthly father can't help us. Our earthly father can't explain it to God why we are bad. Our earthly father can't do that. He can't help us. They try to help us see Christ, but they can't take care of our need outside of Christ. And so we need a new father. We need an adoption. We need to be placed into a new family. It's a miracle of Christmas. What is our response? Turn over to Luke chapter 2. I'd like to read the account of the shepherds now. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, reading down to verse 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Here we have the shepherds, just completely unaware of what was going on in the village. Sitting out there at night, watching their sheep, probably sleepy, I don't know, suddenly jerked awake, suddenly the angels appearing, this miracle, this glorious appearing, and telling them what had happened, and suddenly disappearing again, gone. I think I'd have been pretty weak. But the shepherds, they leaped to their feet, and they ran to see. They made haste. They wanted to go see what had happened. To see if it was true. See if what... I think they probably wondered if they had even seen it. I don't know. Probably all happened very quickly. But they ran with haste to see this miracle. That this Holy One was here. This one they had been waiting for was here. I guess I wonder this morning if the presence of the Holy One has been impressed upon us. Have we thought about the fact that this baby is here among us, that he's here. He's here in our presence. How have we responded? Did we make haste? Were we excited to hear about it this morning and to talk about it again this morning? What's our response? Look back at what Mary's response was. She kept those things. Verse 19, she kept those things and she pondered them in her heart. We made haste to come here this morning. Hopefully, and to see the Christ child once again in our worship service. Well, let's take it away with us as we go and ponder it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Turn back to Matthew now again. Just look quickly at these verses. Maybe I don't even need to read them. We already read them once this morning. But here's the miracle of the confirmation. The miracle of the star in the sky. Brother Linford focused more on the worship and how are we worshiping, what are we doing. And I like to think about this happening as another proof, another miracle that this was Jesus, this was the man, the Son of God that we are looking for, that these men came from far away and fulfilled prophecy, that they came and searched until they found him, asked Herod, they weren't afraid to go to the king, to the ruler, and they came until they found him, and they worshipped, fell down before him, presented him gifts, and then they left again. Do we find confirmation? Has it been confirmed in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? I think we do. We find it in many different places. Do we search after it like the wise men had? I don't know if we do it quite to that extent. We need to search after this confirmation because God wants to confirm it to us. God wants to show it to us. And if you're in doubt this morning whether Jesus is the Son of God and whether simply believing is enough, if that can be enough, and I know it goes farther, it will do something in your life when you do believe. But if you wonder if believing on the Son of God can be enough to answer the sin question, look to God for confirmation and God will show it to you that it is enough. Another miracle that we have here is the miracle of deliverance from the evil one. Let's just keep reading. I don't know if we read all those verses this morning. Starting at verse 12, talking here about the wise men. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child with his and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not." And here's the story of the miracle of deliverance from the evil one. Now, one a period of time from when the wise men were there till Herod realized that he was mocked. It may have been 2 years. I don't know. It was a while. But Herod made sure that he had all the children, the males killed that were 2 years old and younger. It's a miracle that Jesus survived that. We know it was going to because God said it would. But think of all the children that did not survive it. I don't know how many it was, but it must have been a number because he said it was Bethlehem and the coast surrounding it. But it's a miracle Jesus was delivered. And that is a miracle today. Not only Jesus being delivered, but the fact that we can be delivered from that evil one, that we don't have to be destroyed. We were made in the image of God, and Satan hates us, and he wants to destroy us. But God is offering us deliverance that we do not have to be destroyed. We do not have to face an eternal death with the devil. We don't have to go to hell. We can be delivered from the evil one, and it's a miracle. There was one more miracle here that I just remembered, and I didn't write it down. I think it's back in Matthew. Back in Luke, if I can find it here, but it's the miracle of, yes, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Another miracle I wanted to look at. The miracle of the two people that recognized Jesus when he was brought to the temple. Luke 2, verse 21, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to be and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, that he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. He was talking about how people would reject Jesus, and Jesus would be killed. And then he would be risen, and people would believe on him. The rise and fall, the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Verse 36, And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I'll just stop reading there. Here was a story of Simeon and also Anna. The miracle of the fact that they recognized him and that when they believed on him, they went away in peace. And that's a miracle. That all their lives they lived looking for this child. And when they saw him, they knew it was him. And when they knew it was him, it gave them peace. And they could go and die in peace. And I think that's another miracle of Christmas. The fact that when we believe, it gives us peace. When we recognize this child, confess this child, we have peace in our hearts. And so, to the fourth, for the ninth miracle that I've been talking about this morning, all morning, is the miracle of the new birth. And that is the true miracle of Christmas. The miracle that a man could come and die for us, and that through believing on him, we could be saved. Through believing on him, we can find peace. Through believing on him, we can live different from the world. We can operate in a different way. What is the new birth? Nicodemus came to Jesus over in John chapter 3. He said, Jesus, what are you here for? What are you talking about? Let's just turn to John chapter 3. Read a couple verses here. Just let's think about the new birth for a little bit. And this miracle. Because even Nicodemus didn't understand it at first. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Then Nicodemus didn't understand this. Jesus said, You've got to be born again. You have to. And he said, How can this be? Can he enter his mother's womb again? What Jesus was referring to was the fact that God was his father. And we need to be born that God is our father. We have an earthly father, we have a sin nature, and we need to be born of a heavenly nature. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He says, the Spirit comes and it's born again. But it's still, basically what he's saying in verse 8 is it's a miracle. We don't understand it, and yet it's true. It's a miracle. You need to believe it. Go down to verse 12, 13, 14. He's talking about the crucifixion, what's going to happen. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We need to believe on Jesus. We need to believe that he is the Son of God. And we need to do this every day. How are we born again? Yes, it takes an initial experience. It takes a willingness to lay down ourself, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school. We can lay that down, and we can take up the nature of Christ and be willing to live like Jesus lived. Willing to sacrifice. We talked about sacrifice earlier. Willing to give it up. Willing to turn away from sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talked about this, and just read you one verse there. We could read the whole chapter. You want to look into it more. 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about Adam being our father. And because of Adam being our father, death coming on us. And then he says that Christ needs to be our father. If you're looking down in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21, 22, 23, talks about how the last enemy, death, needing to be destroyed. But then when you get over to verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. He's saying, every day we need to die to self. It's a daily experience. Every day we need to be impressed about this miracle of salvation. Every day we need to think about it. We could have titled this message this morning, The Grace of God, because that's what it is. And when we live our lives thinking about the grace of God and what he's done for us, we live differently. When we live our lives thinking about ourselves and what we'd like to accomplish in life, that's how we live to the flesh. He says in verse 34, we need to awake to righteousness and sin not. Well, what impact has the miracle had on us this morning? Remember, the baby leapt in the womb, recognizing Christ. Elizabeth blessed Mary. I mean, even though she had the angel spoken to her, and spoken to her husband, and a promise to her that this was a special child to her, she talked about Mary and blessed Mary. Mary submitted. Mary was willing to accept the reproach. People believed that she had been in sin. She was willing to accept reproach. Joseph obeyed. He was willing to accept it too. He obeyed. He went. He moved. The shepherds rejoiced when they saw the miracle. And the wise men followed. And you know, in every situation, each one of those different miracles, other people noticed. And other people responded. What's our response? Has Christ moved in our hearts today? How has the miracle affected us? And I say that with shame this morning because I realize even this past week, there were times when I forgot about the miracle. And you have to go back and confess it to Christ. Confess it to God through Christ. And be willing again to accept the forgiveness that he extends. But have we noticed? Have we done that? And are we willing to share? There's a sign on a board. This man has put signs on this board different times at his residence. And sometimes a little hard to understand. But the last couple of weeks, he's had this message there. And it simply said, "What did you say the baby's name was? What did you say the baby's name was?" And I like that. Matthew 1:21 says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And we could have looked at all the names of Jesus this morning, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. But the name of Jesus this morning is Miracle. Let's remember that. Let's kneel for prayer.